Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to take a look at the readings from the Acts of the Apostles that the church is leading us through. The first reading we're given each day at Mass, and it's such a beautiful time of the year and such an amazingly fruitful thing to do, to listen to, reflect on, pray through the drama of the unfolding, the emerging of the church under the power, the presence, the movement of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. And we know, if you've been following the story this week, we know that Peter and John in particular, you know, they healed the man at the beautiful gate in the temple. A crowd gathered and they proclaimed the gospel. They bore witness to Jesus, to the resurrection, called people to repentance. They were arrested and brought forth before the religious leaders and leaders of the court, and they commanded them to not speak again about the name of Jesus. And of course, they went out and did it anyway, because that's what the Lord was commanding them to do. They were straightforward with the leaders. They said, what we need to do is first tell you that the reason this man was healed, if you're interested, is because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The very man that you crucified is alive. And he's now at the right hand of God in heaven, and he's the Savior of the world. There's no name under heaven and earth other than the name of Jesus by which we can be saved. That includes all the people of Israel, Peter said, right? And of course, they went back out and proclaimed again, and then they were arrested, thrown in prison. And then an angel let them out in the middle of the night and said, go back to the temple and tell them about this. Tell them everything about this life you've been given, the new life in Jesus, being born again, Jesus said, to being born again to a new life, a life empowered by the Holy Spirit, a participation in the new creation, the resurrected life that exists in the person of Jesus. And he is, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, he is the second Adam. He's a life-giving spirit. Adam was a natural father. Jesus is a supernatural founder, beginner of the new creation. He's the firstborn of a whole new creation. He's the Lord, and he's giving us a share in that new life. And so they proclaimed that. They went out and they proclaimed that. And of course, they got in trouble again. They got brought back in front of the same leaders. And now the leaders are pondering in today's reading what to do with these guys, because they got a problem on their hands, like they did with Jesus at a certain point, which was that all kinds of people now are following the apostles. Many people gave their lives to Jesus, and the church began to grow. And they performed more signs and wonders, and people were astounded. And they had a big crowd following them, and so the religious leaders were sensitive about what that might mean for them. So they're trying to figure their way through it. So there's a famous story now of Gamaliel, a Pharisee who stood up in the Sanhedrin, that is the leadership of the people of Israel in the temple. So he says, a Pharisee in the Sanhedrin, the governing body, the rulers, named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the apostles to be put outside for a short time. So he was present in the room there in the court where the apostles were being once again threatened by the leaders. And he asked that they be removed because he wants to say something. And he said to the whole Sanhedrin the following. He said, fellow children of Israel, be careful what you're about to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared, claiming to be someone important, and about 400 men joined him, but he was killed, and all those who were loyal to him were disbanded, and it came to nothing. After him came Judas the Galilean, at that time of the time of the census. He also drew people after him. But he too perished, and all who were loyal to him were scattered. So now I tell you, have nothing to do with these men. Let them go. For if this endeavor or this activity is of human origin, it'll destroy itself. But if it comes from God, you will not be able to destroy them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. They were persuaded by him. After recalling the apostles, they had them flogged and ordered them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus, and they dismissed them. So Gamaliel was a wise man. He was one of the kind of righteous men, maybe among the Sanhedrin, a little bit like Nicodemus and others, men who weren't quite sure, you know, who were open, who were here, he's giving good wisdom. Look, let them go. If this is of God, you shouldn't try to stop it. And you don't know at this moment if it's from God or not. It's one way to look at what he's saying. He's not necessarily affirming the apostles in what they're teaching, But he is concerned because full discernment about who they are and what's going on through them, it's not time to make it yet. And so they listen to him. But it's interesting what happens then to the apostles. They recall them. They call them back in. And what do they do to them? They flog them. They whip them. And it says, and then they ordered them to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. They flogged them. They punished them. They intimidated them because they want to intimidate them into silence, really. They're punishing them for it. And they said, stop speaking in the name of Jesus. And they dismissed them. Well, how did the apostles respond? So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. Wow. Friends, we should chew on that, meditate on that, stay with this. Ask the help of the Holy Spirit, each one of us. They are before the most powerful people they know in their life, even in some ways, even more than the Roman authorities, because these are the men, the leaders of Israel, those who are presiding at the temple, those who the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had real power. And the apostles were Jews, and they were faithful Jews, and they were following. And they came to believe that Jesus indeed is the Messiah of Israel. And so they had respect for, at some level, what God himself had established in the temple and God established in the people of Israel. But they knew that Jesus was greater than all of it. He was greater than the Lord's day itself, right? The Sabbath. He was greater than the temple, all the things that were said about him, greater than all the leaders put together, that he himself was God with us. So despite having been flogged, despite having been warned specifically about speaking the name of Jesus, and this reminds me of something St. John Paul II said many years ago in a document called Ecclesia in America, kind of a word to the church in North and South America. And he said, church in America, you must learn again to speak the name of Jesus. Because there's power in that name. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which men and women can be saved. And so after they were dismissed, despite what they were instructed, once again, now for the third time, they go back out. And so they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy. Worthy, found worthy of what? So they're rejoicing after having been flogged. And what they're rejoicing for is they were found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name of Jesus. And it goes on to say, and all day long, both at the temple and in their homes, they did not stop teaching and proclaiming the Christ, Jesus. How about that? Amazing men. But what made them amazing? The leaders of the church could hardly understand it. They were like, these are uneducated men. They're not even that impressive. Like, what's going on with these men? Well, they had become disciples of Jesus. Jesus was alive in them in the power of the Holy Spirit. They had become temples of the living God. And just as Jesus promised, there would be great power at work in them and through them. And they were fearless. What a moment for the church to be reflecting on all this. There is so much fear in the church, fear in leaders, confusion, not knowing what to do. So much complexity and division. And there's fear in ordinary people in the church about being marginalized, about, you know, being crossways with the culture, being considered haters or bigots, things like that. A lot of fear in folks being exposed. Fear in people who, me included, I mean, in the sense of what literal opposition have we really experienced because of our commitment to Jesus? I've certainly seen it in other places in the world, in our travels in China, in the former Soviet Union. I mean, there still is. Lots of people in the world, lots of Christians who bear the name of Jesus who are suffering for him. It's happening. And now that's coming to our door, and we want to run from it. We don't want it to happen. We want politicians to fix it, before something like this happens. Guess what, friends? This is so much bigger than politics. This is the King of the universe who's coming to purify his church. The most important thing on the planet, the real difference maker, despite what people think, a lot of people think the church is just over. It's powerless, it's weak, it's dated, and if it doesn't like get up with the times, it's not going to have a future. Well, that's the foolishness of the world. That's the blindness of the world. The church is a supernatural reality, born in the power of the Holy Spirit, brought into being by the Father and the Son. The world can't destroy the church. It's not possible. It can certainly work to weaken, and what's going to weaken are those who are compromised. We tend to think that politics is where the action is, or Wall Street is where the action is, or Silicon Valley is where the action is. That's what people there think it is. But it's going to pass just like every other civilization that's ever lived in human history. I mean, lots of people today in that world are living a progressive vision. And the progressive vision has an optimism and a hope that they found the way and that human history is moving to ever greater progress and ever greater fulfillment. And they're going to be able to extend their lives even further. And there's a faith that's being exercised in their own ingenuity and their own creation and technology and the rest and the dollar or whatever. There's faith being exercised. It's all going to lead to a better day. Guess what? Before the Lord Jesus comes, there's going to be the greatest war in the history of the world. There's going to be a great battle in the earth and many, many people between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And many people who are baptized or alive are going to compromise in that time out of fear for the rise of the Antichrist and the powers that are going to be in the earth. The world is not progressing on some evolutionary process that's leading to better, 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 bigger, better. That's not what's happening. It may look like it at times, may experience it. But friends, the church is where the action is. And even in her weak state. Why? Because this is where Jesus is. And Jesus is coming to purify and strengthen his church, to be faithful to who she is. That's the most important thing that needs to happen. Politics can come and go. It can change. Politics is important. I'm not trying to say it's not important, but it's not as important as the life of the church and the church being the church. Because it's the church that informs life. It's the church that brings life, that brings people from death to life, that brings the forgiveness of sins, that brings the vision of reality that's communicated to us the entire Judeo-Christian history. That's what it is. And culture is downstream from religion, and politics is downstream from culture. And economy is even downstream from that in certain ways. So the church needs to be the church for the sake of the salvation of the world. And the Lord Jesus is coming to make us look more like the apostles, to look like what we've been meditating on, and to call us to it, and to give us the strength, the courage, the healing, the forgiveness, the power that we need to become what our baptism says we are. That's what's really going on. And the Lord wants us to not be afraid, to not let our hearts be troubled. And he's calling us to trust him and to radically surrender to his lordship, say yes to it, receive the Holy Spirit, live more radically in it so we can walk in freedom and not in the fear of men, but in the fear of God, and to bring about what God has desired and calls us to do in the time that he's given to us. Blessed be God.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.